From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
This is Roz and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Thank
you, Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha.
Yeah, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. News break.
Explain to me who Ice Spice is, please, somebody.
Oh, hey. Go for it, Shem. Ice Spice.
I was feeling you.
This is a song that got her noticed. Shout out to New York. And got her signed. She's like huge. Streaming numbers through the roof.
Nuts.
The only thing I know is that she was linked at one brief period of time to Pete Davidson.
She was? Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not
yeah.
that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Right.
I don't think it was true, though. I think
when she was like just on the come up, Drake invited her to OVO, and she performed this song at OVO Fest 2 years ago, and just like it was huge. It was like one of the biggest moments that night.
Yeah,
she's also got a very unique look, which people really are.
She's confusing a little bit.
A little bit.
She's a ginger, right?
She is.
Yeah.
She also has a song out right now with Pink Panthers called "Boy's a Liar," and this song is a Billboard hit. Streams again are like in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, people love Ice Spice.
So so does Taylor Swift. And Taylor released the Karma remix with Ice Spice.
Your text about a bounce. Karma is a fire in your house. And she about to pop up unannounced. And she never leaving you alone. Watch her put your ops on a throne. Got you waving pretty white flags. Feeling for that cash. Thinking it'll save you. Now you switching up your behavior.
Yeah, it took me a while to jump on the train. The Ice Spice fandom. But I am a fan.
So here is Taylor explaining how this all came about.
Collaborating with Ice Spice on Karma was one of the most natural things. She reached out through her team, just kind of saying, hey, you know, Ice has been a big fan of Taylor's since she was a little kid. Would love to collaborate if that was ever something that came about. And I had been listening to her nonstop, like getting ready for my tour. I was just listening to Ice Spice constantly. So I immediately got her number and said, hey, would you want to do, you know, your version of Karma? Do you relate to this? And so she jumped in head first, and getting to know her has been so special because I'm blown away by her. She is, in my opinion, she is the one to watch. Just watching her work ethic and how thoughtfully she approaches her career. She's like my new favorite artist, and I'm so honored that she's on the song. So yeah, what a joy.
There you go.
Love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
They released the new trailer and soundtrack details for Barbie, the new Barbie movie yesterday. So here's the trailer.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool.
Yeah, the trailer is so good, by the way.
Best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever.
Margot Robbie's so good.
When my heart breaks.
Some things have been happening that might be related.
When my world shakes.
Cold shower.
Ooh.
Falling off my roof. And my heels are on the ground.
So we talked about this, like what the premise of the movie would be. And I remember saying that I wondered if it would be sort of like the Lego movie, where the Lego movie happens in Lego World, but then it's revealed at the end of the Lego movie that like people are just playing Lego, right?
Yes.
Like, and President Business was the dad and like
Will
all
Ferrell.
Of this. Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. And Barbie, the movie, is very similar to that. Like the premise of the movie is Barbie leaves Barbie World to go to real world, which is Mattel. And
president business is Will Ferrell.
Is Will Ferrell.
He's the boss of Mattel.
Like, I don't know if I could have nailed it any more than I did.
Yeah.
So it's Will Ferrell. And at the so the soundtrack, Pink is on there. Lizzo's on there with a song called Pink. Dua Lipa, we know. Charlie XCX, Carol G, somebody who's TBA. Tame Impala, Ryan Gosling has a song called I'm Just Ken. Haim is on there. The Kid Larry, Khalid, Pink Panthers.
No, the Kid Leroy.
No, it's Larry, it says.
There's no way.
This, I don't know. This says Larry. This is the Kid Larry.
Hold on. I have the...
I'm telling you what I'm reading. Did somebody screw this up, Maury?
It's Kid Leroy.
Oh, what you gave me says the Kid Larry.
And I copied that from Variety.
Well, they made a mistake. It's not the Kid Larry.
Anyway, the Kid Larry's on there. Still undetermined whether it is, in fact, Leroy. God, could I have sounded any more white? You know what I mean? But I'm telling you, I need to take a picture of this god-awfulness right now.
It's definitely the Kid Leroy.
Yeah. Okay, hold on here. Okay, here, look. Look. What? Look, okay? Just wait. Here, I'm going to show you right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I'm going to take a picture of this stuff. I'm going to throw it in the group chat so you jabronis can see it. Give me a second.
I can't wait to hear that new song by the Kid Larry.
Look at number 12. I just sent it to the group chat. Look at your phone, Shem. What does that say, number 12?
I haven't got anything yet. Oh, here we go.
What does it say?
Oh, yeah, it says the Kid Larry.
Oh, my God, the Kid Larry.
Thank you.
Somebody's computer autocorrected.
Okay, so the Kid Larry's on there. Gail's on there. Ava Max is on there.
You mean Gale?
Yeah. Who? No, Gail.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're such a jackass. Listen, man. All right. And although Aqua's manager a little while ago had said that Aqua would not be part of the soundtrack, and they had said at the time that it would just be a little too on the nose to use Barbie Girl in it, that doesn't mean that one of the artists they invited to be a part of the soundtrack wouldn't sample Barbie Girl. And those artists, again, Ice Spice and Nicki Minaj, it's not Barbie Girl, it's Barbie World. And they play a tiny little bit of it at the end of the trailer.
Is Barbie Girl, if you're still in doubt?
That's all that was in the trailer.
Is Barbie Girl, if you're still in doubt?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also a total Ice Spice type vibe.
Right.
Right?
Is Barbie Girl, if you're still in doubt?
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Kid Larry.
Yeah, shouts to Kid Larry. Always doing great work. Always doing great work.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Buffalo. Blockbuster throwing a little shade at Netflix. Blockbuster tweeted, I didn't even know Blockbuster still had a Twitter account. They wrote, a friendly reminder that when you used to rent videos from us, we didn't care who you shared them with as long as you returned it on time. Oh, damn.
Yeah, but if you returned it late, you got charged.
Thank you. Thank
also,
you.
Like, who invited you to the convo?
I know.
You weren't invited to the group chat.
So all they have is a Twitter account, no stores.
I guess. I don't know.
That's fire. That's kind of fire.
I don't know. Like, do they have? I think, yeah. I mean, when you're like a giant company that ruled the world, you know, in one specific industry, and now you have nothing except a Twitter account. Like, it's kind of like a ghost talking.
That's amazing.
Right? It's kind of like a ghost.
Like, hey, we're still here.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if that.
There was one. They did a whole documentary on the last one.
Where was it? Like in Ohio or something?
Yeah.
Arkansas.
But I don't think they have anything anymore. Hold on. Let me just see. Yeah, they do have a Twitter account. 218,000 followers. Yeah. With a link to their website. Hold on. Let me see what's going on.
As of December 2022, the last Blockbuster is one of three remaining video rental stores that are in operation throughout North America.
Oh my God. Click on their website, Volka. Go to blockbuster.com.
Okay. Blockbuster.com. Okay. We are working on rewinding your movie.
It's just a big giant blue page with the Blockbuster logo, and all it says is, we are working on rewinding your movie, and there's nothing clickable on it whatsoever anywhere.
God. Man, how much are they paying
I know.
To keep that account alive?
It's kind of fire, though. I kind of like it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Brand new Nelly Furtado song. she's been working on music for a while. She hasn't released anything in quite a while. She says, I have so much music. I've recorded 100 songs in the last 18 months, and I'm so excited to bring people new music. I think that this is a little snippet of a song called Eat Your Man, which she did with Dom Dalla, which is out June 2nd.
Kind of got a little bit of similar to like MIA type vibes.
Didn't she have a song called Man Eater?
Yes. She did. Yes. So this song is called Eat Your Man.
And she references I'm a Bird in this track.
She
and
references her older
tongue.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. Man Eater. Man Eater. This is when she had that incredible run with Timbaland.
Oh, yeah, and then the Justin Timberlake record, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Super smart releasing it on June 2nd, so it'll be a Pride anthem for this Pride?
I don't know. What saddens me sort of a little bit, and I love Nelly, don't get me wrong. I love the woman. But I fear that with this track, she's fallen into, even really, really great singers aren't even allowed to sing on their records anymore.
But look, if you look at TikTok, already she did that tease, mm-hmm. and people have matched it thousands of times. Like, it's already getting a ton of play on TikTok.
Sure, sure. If you want to be popular on TikTok.
And she says that in a recent interview that it was TikTok that revived her.
I get that. But you can't, you're not going to make a living being popular on TikTok.
Yeah, she's not really singing, she's sort of speaking.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if the song kicks in. Because I love Nelly Furtado's voice.
Sure.
And I'm sort of saddened that the way the world is now, not even Nelly Furtado can sing on a song, mm-hmm. right? She's got to do something else.
I love it. It's going to be an anthem.
You want to put money on that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, what constitutes an anthem?
Oh, I thought you were going to say what constitutes is money.
Okay. Okay, you want to put some buttons on that, Maury?
1,000 buttons. I bet you 1,000 buttons is going to be an anthem.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got to play this clip of a sportscaster who was, it was late in the night apparently when this game was going on, and he tried to say the phrase, turn the clock back, as there was a black player up at the plate.
Oh, no.
We can't turn the black... we can't turn the clock back. I know it's after midnight. We can't turn the clock back and turn it back into the mid-80s.
Oh, come on.
You know what's crazy? I've had this story all morning, uh-huh. and I was terrified to do it.
Because you didn't want to say what he
said?
Because
I've said it in my head now 3 times, and I have it quoted in highlighted in red. Turn the clock back.
We can't turn the black... We can't turn the clock back.
Thank you.
Wow.
And I was terrified that I was going to say what he said.
What did he say?
We can't turn the black...
Should have ran by me first, bro.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
All right. Let's start at the Indianapolis 500.
Woo!
Not with the race.
You ain't first, you're last.
Because all the drama happened before the race, which is Jewel, who I've always loved Jewel, was hired or invited to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And some people are super into it because, one, she's just got a beautiful voice. But then the other end of the spectrum is that there's quite a few people who are calling it wildly disrespectful. Here's Jewel.
Performs our national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight?
As a fan?
So that's the problem, right? Is it beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. But for me, I'm just You can't change the melody.
Yeah,
you can't change it in middle America, especially, right? Yeah. And especially at that crowd.
Yeah.
Like, so you're talking about it, the indie, where before before the race even starts, right? Before all of this, they have somebody come out to do like a prayer
no,
to everyone.
I get it.
Shem, middle America.
I find it interesting that at this year's NBA All-Star Game, she also sang the anthem and nobody said anything about it.
Did she change the arrangement?
I don't think she changed the melody though, right? So, but like she does, like her voice is so beautiful. If you keep that, can you keep that going a little bit?
Yes, yeah.
Like her voice is incredibly beautiful. Like is it... She didn't do a bad job. It's just not right. Mm-hmm. I think that's what people are, the feeling is, right?
Yeah, I think fans or people at this venue need this song to be sung the way they can sing and join along as well.
The only comparable that I could really think of for somebody who brought out a guitar and just sort of did it this way was Chris Stapleton at the Super Bowl, but he doesn't change the melody.
Hosey, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Yeah, he follows, right? Follows the same. He follows the same pattern where fans, if they wanted to join in and sing, they could sing along with him. Whereas Jewel changed it up completely, right?
Also, helps that his voice is just like...
Yeah, no, I know.
Different.
Because after Fergie did the national anthem, right? Why anybody would even attempt to change the melody
greatest
is...
Greatest anthem of all time, though. Let a flag was still there.
Spangled banner, yes,
like that was bad, right? Like Jules wasn't bad.
So can I play you quickly? So she sang it the exact same way at the NBA All-Star Game.
Who's blown stripes?
Oh yeah, the exact same.
And nobody said anything.
Different crowd.
This is way more with the melody.
No, this is the same. This is the correct melody.
That's what I'm saying. This is way more like the original melody.
She did not sing it the same. That part is... Yeah, I don't know.
Much easier to follow this one.
I think she's like slowly over the years been making it more her own, which I don't think you should do with the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, I know.
It never works out when you make it your own.
Mm-mm.
Right? You wind up like Ferg. Poor Ferg.
You get remixed and everything. Ain't nobody remixing Jules.
So good.
Now I know. Let's play some basketball. Oh my god. Alright.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, Billie Eilish just letting the haters have it. So I guess people have been going in on Billie Eilish's style and how she dresses since Billie Eilish has been a thing. Well, she was very sort of like athleisure for a lot of years with all the super baggy clothes and appearing to not want to be feminine or not want that to be a thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever the explanation was, she was just sort of doing her thing. And more recently, like at the Met Gala and a couple other places, she's sort of like going with dresses and being a little bit more feminine, I guess you could say, or whatever. I don't know how you describe it, but she has an evolving sort of look, right? Remember when she did that cover where she was blonde and she had like that sweater on, right? Yeah. It was form-fitting. And nobody had ever seen Billie Eilish like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess she's been taking a lot of heat from a lot of idiots.
Oh,
and
God.
So she goes on Instagram and says, I spent the first 5 years of my career getting absolutely obliterated by you fools for being boyish and dressing how I did and constantly being told I'd be hotter if I acted like a woman.
Oh, God.
And now when I feel comfortable enough to wear anything remotely feminine or flirting, I changed and am now a sellout. And what happened to her? OMG, it's not the same Billy, she goes on to say. She's just like all the rest now, blah, blah, blah. She goes on to say, you guys are true idiots, LOL. I can be both, you effing bozos. Let women exist. She continues saying, fun fact, did you know that women are multifaceted? Shocking, right? Believe it or not, women can be interested in multiple things. And she ends it with this. Suck my absolute bleep and bleep, you women-hating weirdos.
Good for you, Billy Eilish. Round of applause. Good for you, Billy Eilish. Right.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Everybody was at Taylor Swift's show in New Jersey, huh? Damn.
Yeah.
Who was there? Aaron Rodgers was there. Mariska Hargitay was there. Who are you saying was there, Maury?
Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
Shawn Mendes. I just saw a picture of Camila Cabello wearing purchased Taylor Swift merch to the gym the next day with a couple of friends.
Gifted to her.
I don't know.
Sure.
I think she walked right up there.
Maybe she's friends supporting friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Molly Ringwald was there. Gal Gadot was there.
Three sold out shows at MetLife Stadium in Jersey. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
And you know, it's
she brought out that Ice Spice Girl that everybody's loving right now for that remix.
And the fans went nuts for it too.
Yeah.
All right, Jersey, are you ready to make the most amount of noise you've made all night? Because someone's here.
Oh my God!
Ice Spice is here. Ice Spice comes out to a nice big warm welcome. Let me tell you, and we've said this before, Taylor Swift has yet to announce any Canadian dates for this tour.
Yeah.
And seeing all the stories is just making me anticipate and making me more hype for if and when she does announce, because I gotta go to the show now.
It would have by now.
I'm telling you, I'm with Maury on this one. I don't think it's happening.
No because Canadian dates at all.
All the
no.
Canadians who really want to go traveled already to the U.S. Yeah. to see them. It's too late now.
Unless she does what other people have done rarely, which is she'll do the U.S., then she'll do Europe, come back and do more U.S. shows where she may do Canada at that point. But I don't think it's gone. They're not announcing it for this run. There's no way. They would have announced it already. Taylor. It's a summer.
The venue's already booked up with other shows.
It's a stadium tour. Right? Well, yeah, I know. I hear you.
Canadian Swifties are waiting.
I know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Pedro Pascal talked about when he first sort of like hit it, which was right after Game of Thrones. You remember he was, his character's name was what? The
Mandalorian?
No, in Game of Thrones.
Djarin?
No!
I never watched Game of Thrones.
It was whatchamacallit?
Jimmy.
No.
Doug.
No, anyway.
King
it
Doug.
It was the something in the Viper, the giant, the mountain in
Striking
the Viper,
Viper
or something like that. No, don't you remember when he died in Game of Thrones? Spoiler alert. So when he died in Game of Thrones, the mountain who he was fighting got him on the ground and put his thumbs over, like, in his eyes and then just pushed his thumbs into his skull, right? And that's how his character died, which he was amazing. He was such a good character. But that's how Pedro Pascal's character died, was thumbs in the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess after that, fans wanted to sort of recreate that. So here's the problem with allowing fans to do that, according to Pedro.
I remember early, because of Game of Thrones and the way that my character died, speaking of touching, people were super into taking selfies with their thumbs in my eyes.
Wow, that's a lot of trust.
And at first, I was so
a stranger.
I was so kind of earnest and happy about the success of the character in the show, and I would let them in New York. And
you would let them go
of
like
all
this.
Places. Yeah. And I remember getting a little bit of an eye infection, and then
I was
stopped.
Gonna
and,
say
it's like a thing. This is a thing.
It was.
You didn't ask them to watch.
It's
their
coming
hands
back.
Hands. Yeah. Hence the glasses, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Protection.
Gross.
Yeah. Here. I'm a dirty fan.
Yeah.
Can I put my thumbs in your eyes? Of course. Like, who does that?
Thanks for watching the show.
Right? thanks for being such a huge fan. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Look.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to play you this clip of Robert Downey Jr.
John Favreau
and Kevin Feige talking about Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and how he could have possibly played another character within the MCU. But it's a little bit of revisionist history. So listen to this and then we'll come back.
It wasn't really until we cast Robert that I fully understood what the take was. And once it was Robert, then it was like, I know what the... every decision became a lot easier.
Should we talk about that? Because I think that's probably one of the greatest decisions in the history of Hollywood. And everybody has good days and bad days. And I remember on later movies, we'll talk about on 15th anniversary of those, there were dark days. And I would say to Robert, we wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for you. Meaning, we wouldn't have a studio if it wasn't for
that's
him.
That's true.
Or you. Tell me your memories of where that idea came from. Because there were some other people. There were, and I've talked about it.
I remember that Robert had come in for a general on it. And I remember you had all met with him already for like Dr. Doom or something on another project. I think I think he had come through on a Fantastic Four.
Right.
So everybody sort of knew who he was. And I remember sitting down with the guy and I was like, geez, he just got it in it. He's got that spark in him and his eye and he's ready. And that's when we were in your office and we were pointing to his headshot and saying, we got to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
That was enough to get us a screen test. But then once it was him, that's when my life got a lot easier because understood the voice of the character. And then one by one, people were just signing on board.
Yep.
Because now it became something interesting to people.
Gwyneth, Jeff.
It all galvanized at that point. And then people were just popping in because it was cool.
The crazy part of this is not really the story that sort of surrounds Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. Because if you go back, Kevin Feige has said this, quote, Robert Downey Jr. was an amazing actor. Everybody knew he was an amazing actor, but he hadn't been an action star. He wasn't a marquee star necessarily. And we quickly realized the risk. I've said this before. I was not casting him. And wow. Jon Favreau really had that vision for that movie and for Robert in that role. They didn't want him. I did an interview for, I think it was Iron Man 2, and Gwyneth Paltrow was talking about it, where she said that one of the reasons they didn't want him was because he was so controversial at that time. Mm-hmm. And she said that Robert Downey Jr., when he was cast as Iron Man in 2008, he didn't even have a car.
Oh, geez.
Because he was like, he had done all the jail stuff and he was still trying, he was rebuilding his career and his reputation. And they did not want Robert Downey Jr. So it's weird to hear them sort of talk now about how like, oh yeah, it just all came together. He was going to be
maybe
something
just
else.
Maybe a nicer version of the story.
Yeah, I think they might be sort
like
of like,
it up.
I think you're right, Maury. I think they might be nicing up Iron Man.
Or they just told that story in the multiverse.
Right.
And forgot which,
totally.
Which
yes,
one
you're
that
right.
They're in right now.
100%.
One more of the news with Roz and Mocha. Get it at 640, 740, and 840.
On KISS 92.5.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Just reading this sort of postmortem, the creator and a couple of the cast from Succession just breaking down their feelings towards the finale. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh no!
I think the best headline that I've read so far when it comes to Succession was "You can't make a tomlet without breaking a few Gregs."
Right? Brilliant. And oh no, it's because I haven't seen this latest season. What happened to Greg? I don't want to know.
And I don't know whether this is just a testament to great writing, brilliant writing, and unbelievable acting, but Sarah Snook, who plays Shiv, just announced that she gave birth to her first child. And you know what? I wasn't happy for her.
What? Oh my God.
For a minute.
You can't be.
Shiv was pregnant in the show.
You can't separate the two?
I can't. I have a hard time, man. Like, you know what? But I am now. Like, I get it that I'm psycho, right? That, like, I should be happy
like
for the
48 hours later.
For this brilliant artist who created this character and brought it to everything else, right? I'm fine now. But when I first read that Sarah Snook had a kid, I was like, meh. And now I'm like, I realize that that's a baby with a mom who has a very, she's got a job to do and she does it very well. And now I'm excited for her. But she posted a picture.
You're happy for Sarah, but you don't care for Shiv. Yeah,
right. Maybe if Shiv wasn't pregnant in the show, I would feel differently. But it's because Shiv's pregnancy was worked into the show that I was just like, blech, gross. But she posted a really cute picture. So it's her, the back of her head sitting on the couch with the baby's head right there. Mm-hmm. And on the television was, she was about to watch the season finale of Succession because she had the kid on Monday.
Yeah.
Or I guess whatever it was the day after. Yeah, Monday would have been. And she wrote, it's hard to express what this show has meant to me. She captioned the picture and she goes, I just watched the final episode of the final season of something that has changed my life. And now my life has changed again. Thank you all for all the love and support. So congratulations to Sarah and her husband, who is an Australian comedian named Dave Lawson. Yeah.
But to Shiv, you say...
Get bent, man. I hope it hurt so like hell. Cool. And you were too late to the hospital for the epidural, like all that stuff. But anyway, those are my feelings towards Shiv. Sarah, I love. Shiv, not so much.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Vegas Golden Knights are on their way to the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in their six-year history. They smoked Dallas last night 6-0. The Stanley Cup Final starts June 3rd on Sportsnet. And I don't like this schedule.
What?
So,
because West Coast, right?
No. 8 o'clock games.
Oh.
8 o'clock games. That's all the games are 8 o'clock. That's okay. Totally great. But so you got June 3rd, so you got Saturday
yeah.
and then you got the 5th, right? So
okay, one
game in between. Then you got the 8th.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you got the 10th, one day in between. And after the 10th, if you need it, it goes to the 13th.
Why?
Then the 16th.
Oh,
Then the 19th. Like 2 days in between most of the games in the series.
Because NBA Finals.
I know, but still.
Right? The Heat and Nuggets? And
yeah.
Because their series starts on Thursday.
Yeah, so Jimmy Butler scored 28 points. Caleb Martin at 26 and 10 rebounds. Eighth seed Miami Heat. Oof, and it wasn't even close last night. So what a run the Celtics had, though. Coming back from, you know, what was it, 0-3?
They were down 0-3.
Yeah. They were down 0-3 to force a game 7, and then it all just fell apart. 103-84 Miami and Denver in the NBA Finals, which a lot of people are looking forward to for that. Nick Nurse heading to Philly. That's the story.
What are you laughing at, Sham?
That is crazy.
So a couple things. Number one, he's going to get to coach MVP Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Number two, them two are going to have a lot to talk about because Joel Embiid didn't keep his mouth shut when talking about Nick Nurse. Not that long ago.
Cracked on him many times.
Yeah.
Said he complained to the refs too much.
Yeah. Also, all those guys call Nick Nurse a terrorist, eh?
Do they really?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, they call him a terrorist. They say his coaching style is terrorism because he doesn't rest his stars.
Oh.
Joel has a bad knees, too.
Yeah. Like
he can have a bad everything.
Like he gets roasted so much because he's like, you know, anybody can win when you coach like Nick Nurse, which is the entire strategy is throw 5 9-foot Kenyans at everybody.
Listen.
And you don't rest your stars. He's like, of course you're going to win. But he's like, nobody wants to play for Nick Nurse because Nick Nurse doesn't rest his stars.
Listen, you want to win or you want to win?
That's what I'm saying. You want to win or you want to win?
It's going to be a hot mess. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet continue to, quote, enjoy each other's company sans labels.
Oh. So just like
they're keeping it
friends?
Casual. And apparently they see each other when they are both in Los Angeles. Quote,
Kylie enjoys dating, but her main focus is being a mom. This is what the insider told People magazine, mm-hmm. and that their relationship is not serious.
Now, when they say insider, you think it's really like the publication would reach out to Kylie's people, and then it's like the publicist that replies?
For People, yes, you could. It's a little bit more trustworthy than many other publications, right? Mm-hmm. They usually have really insider. Great
relationships. You're not calling up like
no,
scrolling through Kylie Jenner's feed and then seeing who she tags and posts, and then reaching out to that person and saying, "Hey, what do you know?"
No, Timothy Chalamet in the past has been romantically linked to Lourdes Leon, Lily Rose Depp. Wow, he really loves a famous offspring, huh?
Mm.
That's his type. Who has that type? Man, you gotta be gorgeous and famous to have your type be the offspring of even more gorgeous and famous people. Like, that's crazy.
Timothy Chalamet look like again? I gotta look him up.
Timothy Chalamet, he looks like a beautiful young lady. No, I'm kidding. And he's so pretty, right? He's pretty. Like, how else do you describe Timothy Chalamet?
You know what? He almost
he's
looks
pretty.
Like
pretty, right, Maury? Like, I can't hear you, Maury. I can't hear you.
There's another word I would use.
He's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty.
He almost, in some of these photos, like alternate, like multiverse Tom Holland.
Yes, a little bit.
Right.
But do you remember how when Johnny Depp was real young, like Johnny Depp was also pretty?
Mm.
Yeah.
Right? Like he was pretty.
Yeah, he was very much that Johnny Depp vibe.
He looks like a deep fake to me.
He does. Honestly. He looks AI.
He looks AI.
So, yes, you're right. You're right. He's so pretty. He looks fake. Good on you, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
After a pandemic-induced sort of schlamaz when everybody was trying to get married over COVID, apparently weddings are back and they are more expensive than ever. Mm. With the average cost of a wedding in the U.S. Between $28,000 and $29,000 now. Mm-hmm. Inflation and high demand are driving up the price of weddings, as everything from music to flowers to makeup is all getting a bump and being increased. Let me see if I can find you these stats here. Hold on here. Was I just reading? So DJs are apparently this year charging 25% more than they did pre-pandemic. Makeup artists 20% more. Flowers 20% more. Wedding dresses are up 19%. Hairstylists 18%. Photographers are up 8%. The venues are up 7%. And now let's talk about the guests, because the average wedding guest can expect to pay $611 to attend a single wedding in 2023. Woo! The findings suggest that guests plan on spending around $400 on travel and accommodations, $321 on gifts, and $274 on their own attire and grooming. When it comes to the demographics of the generations, they say millennials will allocate most of their wedding budget on gifts for the couple, with an average of $201 per gift per person. Meanwhile, Gen Z will invest the most on their own attire and grooming to attend a wedding, with the average of that being $214 per person per wedding.
Jesus.
What was it like for you and Catherine planning your wedding?
In what way? Financially?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I really didn't have any expectations going into it. Like, weddings are expensive. You're getting married in the city and you gotta, like, venues are venues and food is food, and you sort of have to pay these minimums and everything else.
I'm happy not to eat at your wedding.
Have you received an invite to my wedding yet, Maura?
No, but I haven't checked the mail today.
What are you doing to earn an invite to my wedding?
I shouldn't anything. Why should everyone else get to go without earning it? Why do I have to earn it?
How do you know that the people who were invited haven't earned it?
Yeah.
Because I don't see anything being done to showcase the earnings.
I mean, you had to earn your way into my book.
Yeah, but that's a bigger honor.
Never mind then.
No, being in your book is a huge honor. Being at your wedding would be a treat.
So I'm your treat then.
So it's a treat.
Oh, just a treat. I'm your treat.
Huh.
Wow. Interesting.
Don't bother checking that mailbox.
It won't be there today. Probably not tomorrow either.
Or the day after that. All right.
You can earn your way in. You want to earn your way in?
But I shouldn't have to earn my way in.
Why?
You should.
It's a small wedding. We're being real tight with the guest list.
Uh-huh.
Shem, did you get an invite?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Is Ross having a wedding? Am I invited?
Oh, you know what? I did get that invitation.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Damn. Didn't even have to do anything but check his mailbox.
I'm just going to answer the phone here.
So, Mark, no, honestly, like, listen, there's a way in. You know this.
Shem, what did you do to get in?
It's not about Shem.
I've been a really good friend of Roz over the last couple of years.
Why are you making it about not you, Mark? We're talking about you.
But I don't, because, like, I've worked for you for a long time.
Difference. I've been a friend.
This is not helping.
Who are you calling right now?
Why are you on the phone?
Get on the phone, man.
Because someone called.
Why are you taking phone calls while we're on the radio?
Uncomfortable. Look at the way he's pulling on his shirt and everything.
Anyway, we will discuss more about this as we get closer to the as-announced unknown wedding date. We will get closer and closer, and we will figure out if Dammit Maury is, in fact, invited to the wedding.
But just to be clear, he does not need to check the mailbox today.
No.
Maybe not even this week.
I would say that's probably right.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
You think that this Matt Healy controversy is going to land him dumped by Taylor Swift?
Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of a douche, this guy, huh?
Huge.
So what happened was, is that this started off with Matt Healy was doing a podcast back in February where he and these two other guys were talking about Ice Spice and her ethnicity, and they're just crass and ignorant. And listen to this.
Ice Spice, you know who that is?
Nick doesn't know who it is.
She's like
one of the Spice Girls.
Yes, that's
she's
right.
Like this she's, rapper.
She's the
girl
rapper
that has
the Spice
one
Inuit Spice Girl.
Just this chubby Chinese lady. Yeah, I rap her music. Do they talk like that? Do the Inuits talk like that?
They don't talk with a Chinese accent.
They talk like a more Hawaiian style.
Yeah, more Hawaiian. Yeah. Welcome to Hawaii.
Locals only.
Locals only.
Coconut.
Yeah, that's what Ice Spice is like. Uh-huh.
She's a very attractive woman that released one song and basically everyone.
So you slide
like,
in your DMs, you're like, so what are you, a Eskimo or something?
Yeah, that's what I was like.
I want to punch this guy in the face so hard.
So that's Matt Healy. And then in April, he was on stage when this sort of started to get out and offered up an apology to Ice Spice, which even in itself was very half-assed.
Yeah.
You have that clip there.
Oh.
Yes, sorry.
It's not because I'm annoyed that me joking got misconstrued. It's because I don't want Ice Spice to think that I'm a I love you, Ice Spice. I'm so sorry. But I don't want anything I get misconstrued to be mean. Like, I don't mind being like a bit of a joker. And there's so many people here that are like, what the f*** is this part of the show? Does he do this all the time? I know that you know that I do. But like, I don't want to be, it's okay for me to be like a trickster or whatever, but I don't want to be perceived as like kind of being high. Because honestly, I just love you guys and I love doing this. And,
right, like on your own stage, very safe place. And then Taylor released that remix with Ice Spice, which some people are saying was a way for her to sort of smooth the bridge over. I don't know how you feel about that. And then so all of that happens with Taylor and Ice Spice, and she brings her out on stage during her concert over the weekend. But then the New Yorker just released an interview with Matt Healy where he full on both hands doubles down on his comments from that podcast. So he admitted that he was purposefully provoking his fans by laughing along with the co-hosts on that podcast when they were goofing on several different accents. He says this, but it doesn't actually matter. Nobody is sitting there at night slumped at their computer and their boyfriend comes over and goes, "What's wrong, darling?" And they go, "It's just this thing with Matty Healy." He goes, "That doesn't happen." Then when the reporter suggests, "What if it does?" Matt Healy replied, "If it does, you're either deluded or you are, sorry, a liar. You're either lying that you are hurt or you're a bit mental for being hurt." So that's his response to that, right?
Like, Taylor Swift doesn't dump this guy right away.
Soon, it's coming.
You think so?
I think her teaming up with Ice Spice is just the first step.
Oh,
I think they already broke up.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe.
It's coming.
Maybe. Big up Ice Spice. on that Karma remix. Karma is a fire in your house, and she about to pop up unannounced, and she never leaving
you alone. Watch her put your ops on a throne. Got you waving pretty white. Right?
Because I don't think Ice Spice would have gone on stage with Taylor if they were still together.
Yeah.
I think Ice Spice does it for the look. Yeah, she's smart. So.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. On a recent podcast with Kiki Palmer, John Stamos, who revealed years ago it had come out that he is a very big fan of like Disney World, right? Like he's an adult Disney super fan.
Okay.
And he started to feel sort of self-conscious about it, but it was actually a dinner with Ryan Gosling that changed his mind. Listen to this.
About six, 7 years ago, I was like, man, I got to shed this Disney thing because I don't know if it's hurting my acting career, but who's going to take me serious with the Mickey Mouse stuff? I got to sort of distance myself from it. And then I had dinner with Ryan Gosling one night with a bunch of people. And he's like, you're a Disney fan. And I go, yeah. He goes, I'm obsessed. I'm a Disney adult. I go there by myself. Oh my God. I wear headphones. I listen. I go on rides. I have a mixtape. I go, yeah, me too. I'm a Disney guy too. Ryan Gosling could be. So that kind of turned the corner for me.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling was going to Disney World alone with like a playlist and doing all the rides.
Ryan Gosling with them abs?
Because he was Mickey Mouse Club though, right?
No, I know. Yeah.
And he was like Mickey Mouse Club, wasn't he, with like Christina Aguilera and Britney, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And JT, right?
I know a couple of adult Disney fans.
Yeah.
Every year.
Really?
Every year.
That's
they go.
Crazy.
They plan a trip.
Yeah. Don't you have somebody who's a Disney fan in your family, Maureen?
My legal guardian, Susie, has like the world's largest collection of Disney paraphernalia.
Right.
The world's largest, or she just has a lot?
No, it's insane. Like, there's almost no room to sit.
Right. Maury,
wait a minute.
Because Maury posted a picture from, was it Passover or something like
that's
that?
That's right. Yeah.
He posted a picture of the dinner table, and in the living room, the dining room, there was a shelf, and I zoomed in, and I'm like, what in the hell's going
on
this shelf?
Just one room. She has five more rooms just like that.
Oh, my God.
And she babysits kids, and they're not allowed to touch anything.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
Shout out to Susie.
I couldn't.
You couldn't be that guy?
No, I couldn't be with that person.
Oh, if they were like
an adult Disney fan like that,
I couldn't do it. Disney every single year.
I couldn't do it.
Would you like to go with me?
No, I couldn't.
You're gonna do all the experiences.
And everything's like all the plates and cutlery are Disney?
No, but like Aunt Susie or John Stamos or whatever, like
Ryan Gosling. If Ryan Gosling called you today and said, bro, I got a couple of plane tickets to Florida.
Oh, I would go with him.
Right, a couple of tank tops.
But I wouldn't marry him.
No. It's not. No,
why not?
I couldn't be with that is what I'm saying.
That's fine.
I couldn't be with that.
Some Disney tank tops, thing one and thing two.
No.
Right?
No. Like, I would, like, if I was living in Aunt Susie's house with all that Disney stuff, five rooms worth of Disney stuff, I mean, I'm torching the place for insurance.
Oh, damn.
Wow. Wow. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Jay's pitcher, Anthony Bass, has apologized for sharing a video endorsing anti-LGBTQ boycotts of Target and Bud Light and all that stuff. So he had originally shared an Instagram reel that was calling on Christians to avoid these brands, where in the original clip, the guy said, here's the reason biblically why I believe Christians have got to be boycotting Target, Bud Light, and any other corporation that's pushing the things they're pushing. I think a lot of people make this into a political issue, or they say, oh, what's the big deal? He goes on to say, this is the devil. This is demonic. We won't stand for it. So that's the video that Anthony Bass shared. And then everybody went in on Anthony Bass. And this was like it sort of hung around a little bit longer than these things normally do, right? Like when did he originally do this, Maury?
This was like
on the weekend.
On the weekend, and like people were asking for the Jays to say something. Nobody was going to say anything. And like people were calling for him to be like released. Like normally stuff would, as you said, be way quicker than this.
Yeah. So here is, let me know what you think of this apology or this statement rather. Oh. Here's Anthony Bass.
I recognized yesterday, I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine. And I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thoughts more?
I think it was very well rehearsed and scripted. Yeah. I also find it very interesting that he didn't take any questions.
That's the weak sauce part for me right there.
No questions?
No questions. That's okay. Weak.
Because people are saying that had he have taken questions, his true self
Are we to believe that in the span of 3 days, he went from being the type of person who is a Christian who wants to boycott Target and Bud Light to this? Are we to believe that he became a whole new person?
No, not at all.
Okay, so my question, and this came up a lot during Black Lives Matter as well, which is when you are in a position, Maury, okay, to be looking for allies, where you're part of a community that relies on allyship, it is very important to know who your allies are. But is it also just as important to know who they're not?
1,000%.
And
absolutely.
And does forced allyship sort of muddy all of that?
Very much so. Very much. And to go back to what you said before, it takes 3 steps to post something on your story. He knew what he was doing.
Right. But I feel that you may be like wanting to know who feels the way that guys like Anthony Bass feel. As opposed to them hiding or lying.
Oh, I see what you mean. You know, absolutely, to see everybody's true self. Is that what you're talking
yes.
about? Yeah, absolutely.
Because what benefit is forced allyship?
Then I would have rather him not say anything than to fake an apology. I would have rather him just say, I have nothing to say. I deleted the post. Like, don't go stand there and do.
He would have lost his job that way.
Yeah. But would he have, though?
I think so, yeah.
But why is a 35-second, in my opinion, fake apology keeping his job?
Yeah, I don't know. Shem?
Yeah, I hear your point about forced allyship. I think, though, in this case, because he's tied to an organization, you want to sort of know that the organization also doesn't stand with his beliefs, which is why he's, you know, why he was sort of told to apologize.
No, I get that. I get that the Jays have some work to do, right?
Sure,
but
sure.
I don't understand the benefit of carting Anthony Bass out and saying, yo, like, you got to love gays right now, man. And he's like, oh my God, okay, cool. There's a lot on the line. I make a lot of money. Like, I don't understand the benefit of turning him suddenly from what he was 3 days ago to something, a whole new person.
Yeah, I don't know that the apology was meant to sort of make him seem like a whole new person. I think it was just to acknowledge what he did was wrong.
But it made it worse, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, I don't agree with that.
Here's the other thing.
Do you believe that he believes that it's wrong?
No, I don't.
So what's the point?
So when Kevin Pillar said inappropriate things, he was suspended, was he not? So how is this any different than saying something verbally wrong?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to hear John Schneider or no?
Nah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Okay, so when Robert De Niro, who's 79, a couple weeks ago, said that he was a brand new dad at 79 years old,
yeah,
right? Al Pacino has now announced that his girlfriend, Noor Al-Fala, is 8 months pregnant.
How old is Pacino?
83.
Ooh, baby. How old is his girlfriend?
29.
No.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Why am I the only one clapping?
Who's clapping?
Wow.
Who's clapping in there?
It's Maury.
Okay, so
I thought we were all going to clap. I thought we were in unison.
Unisync. Al Pacino already has 3 kids, a set of twins with Beverly D'Angelo from Vacation, and then another one with Jan Tarrant from a previous relationship. So, however, Al Pacino's girlfriend, Noor Al-Fala, okay, previously dated Mick Jagger when Mick was 73 and she was 23.
Oh, so she got a type.
Okay. She also had to publicly deny hooking up with Clint Eastwood when she was 24 and Clint was 88.
Oh, that crusty old fart.
And it's the best too, because the picture that exists of apparently this date was a picture of the two of them in a car, and Clint's driving. He's up in the driver's seat and she's in the back seat like a kid, like with a seatbelt on.
What's in the passenger seat?
Nobody.
That's weird.
Like, she had to sit in the booster seat?
She's in the back.
Wait, was he the Uber?
I don't know. And so when you're talking about like a giant age difference, it is such a weird look when the old man is driving and the 24-year-old is in the back. But you're right. She definitely has a type.
Come on now.
Right? Definitely.
She knows.
Definitely has a type.
So Al Pacino. Right? 80, what? Yeah. 88?
Al Pacino is 83, going to be a dad. I think she meets these guys on I was reading about this app. I think it's called Death's Door.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, shut my up. God. Yo.
Got him.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jeff Bezos and his now fiance Lauren Sanchez are renting... renting a property.
But they don't buy.
I know.
It's Mr. Amazon.
Well, they have a place, but it's being renovated, right? Oh. So they're renting Kenny G's Malibu compound for $600,000 a month.
Woo! Does it come with Kenny G performing?
I don't know. I think that, I mean, it's been, realistically, Kenny G could just be like in one of the rooms and they probably never even find him.
Yeah, completely.
$600,000 a month is what they are paying. However, there's a guy in Arizona, 48-year-old cybersecurity expert named Spyro Malaspinas. That sounds like one of those names that you make a prank phone call with. So he has a place in Arizona, and around Super Bowl time, where his giant house was, it's like 6,500 square feet. He paid like $7 million for it or something like this. It's perfectly right in between Glendale and Scottsdale. I think that's the sort of two neighborhoods. And where Super Bowl was happening.
Okay.
And he had a property. It's like he doesn't rent his house. It's his giant mansion. Mm. And he had a property company, management company, come to him and say, hey, listen, it's Super Bowl weekend. Would you be willing to rent out your house to somebody for the week? And he was like, how much? And they were like, 1 week, $500,000. And he was like, okay. So he signs the papers.
Yeah.
And the person who stayed at his house for the week was Rihanna.
No.
Yes, and he only found out after he signed the papers that it was Rihanna. But Rihanna paid him, an already rich guy, $500,000 for 1 week, which he said then covered off his mortgage payments for the next 2 years.
Oh my God. I'd be pissed.
For the next 2 years. That is an expensive rental. $500,000 for a week.
You think Rihanna's going through your stuff?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah, what if she needs like a little bit of cream?
I mean, I think that Rihanna has...
You think she don't show up with all her Fenty stuff?
I wouldn't even say that Rihanna would be looking for cream. I would say that it's Rihanna's staff that would be looking for her cream, which is their job to bring the cream.
I know. Yeah. What if Rihanna needs a hard pillow and you only provided a soft? She's going to go looking for a hard pillow.
No, she has people that go looking for hard pillow. I don't think, like, Rihanna's not walking around, you know, going, anybody see my iPhone charger?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
she just snaps.
Yes.
And it's there. No, but she snaps and her phone is charged already.
Yes. If I'm Rihanna lying in bed and I'm bored, I'll look through this nightstand.
Bored. Check the bank account.
Yeah. Bored? Yeah. Believe me, she's got a lot of stuff to look at before she gets to the nightstand.
Yeah.
Checking, saving.
Going through the man's cabinet looking for Jergens hand lotion?
Like, what is she looking? What's she hoping to find?
Yeah. Ooh, right? Vito. Yeah. The premium stuff.
Like, come on now.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, these guys were shooting off fireworks on a TTC bus during the day. I don't know if you saw this video. It is crazy. Like, there's
what's happening in Scarborough? What y'all doing out there?
So there's like a group of people on the back of a bus in broad daylight, and he has one of those big giant Roman candles, and then the guy just lights it and starts lets it off in the bus.
Go.
It's not popular.
popping. It's not popping.
You idiot!
And you know, when you watch the video, guaranteed by the end of the day, if not by now, because this video's been everywhere. This kid's going to be identified because you can clearly see his face.
Yeah. TTC spokesperson says they are aware of the incident and have opened an investigation. But yeah, like they don't even, when you're getting filmed doing stuff like this, like they just don't care. People don't care. Like he's looking at the camera before he does it.
Yeah.
Like it's wild to me that there's no sense of wrong, no, I guess.
Social media clicks is a drug.
That's
right?
It, huh?
It's an addiction, man.
I think the TTC needs to start registering the Presto cards to names so that once something like this happened, all they have to do is look at the list of who checked in on the bus.
Yeah, I don't. That's a privacy thing.
Yeah,
though,
you
right?
can't do that.
Can't do that.
Well, that would help.
What do you want to live in? What do you want to live in? China, Maury? You want them to know what bus you take and when you take it?
But
with
I'm
a list
saying,
of, with a like, list of names?
Like we have a driver's license, people look at that. Like your Presto card
could be
registered.
They're going to get this kid by the
you.
End of the day.
Oh, yeah. Or somebody, they won't. Or they won't.
Somebody already snitched on them.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody snitched already by the end of the day.
It's probably already in the comments of the video.
Yeah. I'm sure. He probably commented.
Yeah.
Kids these days, they cell phone all the time. Right?
That's me.
Yes.
Six bus.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Succession ended with a ratings high of 2.9 million people who watched it live on HBO Max down in the States. When all is said and done, when you go for the delayed viewing numbers, people who watched it on demand, they're looking at an 8.7 million views for that final Woo! Episode, which is a big monster number.
Where do you rank that on finales? Did you like that finale? Like, is it up there on your favorites?
I there was a lot about that last season that I didn't really like. There's a couple episodes that I thought were the best episodes of the entire show. So overall, very happy. Overall, I thought the finale was incredible. Loved it. But one of the things that's making a ton of news, if you remember when the three kids are with at the mom's place, right? So, Kieran Culkin in the show is like just kicking it in a t-shirt and shorts, right? And everybody was like, so he looks like a little boy because everybody is just so stunningly dressed in that show, like super expensive suits and everything else. But he's there in a just regular t-shirt and regular pair of shorts.
Like
and
basic?
Super basic. And the Twitter, the Instagram account Succession Fashion found the t-shirt that Kieran Culkin wears in that final episode.
Oh, can I get, is it like a $1,700 shirt from like Burberry or something?
No, it is a two pack for $13.96 at Walmart.
Yo!
Right?
Walmart for the win.
So
big up that George collection.
No, Wonder Nation.
Wonder Nation.
Okay.
Yes.
So they put him in a Walmart t-shirt, and everything on that show is super deliberate, right? Mm-hmm. So fans are like, okay, as if he's walking in to a Walmart. And so people were saying, now is this a shirt that he left at his mom's when he was younger? And then got there and started rummaging around and found one. And then other people are saying, no, he obviously would have shown up in a suit and then sent the help out to buy him some clothes. And they would have gone to Walmart. So now it is where, because everything's so deliberate on that show. So now everybody is like, where did the Walmart shirt come from in this family that is obsessive about the best of everything? Like, where did the Walmart shirt come from? Because obviously they knew fans were going to figure out that he was wearing a Walmart shirt.
I tried
shirt.
Buying these, hey?
Yeah.
It's sold out.
It's sold out everywhere because everybody wants them. And in that, also that final scene, because I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but
thank you.
But Kendall, finally. You remember when they make the oldest boy that drink?
The eldest boy?
I'm the eldest boy. So apparently every single scene and every single take, he actually drank that. and it wasn't switched out. Like, what they made in the kitchen is what he drank out of the jug.
But did they put those actual ingredients
yes.
in?
Yes.
So what are the ingredients? Like, is it a spoiler if you tell me?
Egg and cheese. Hot sauce. And hot sauce and everything. But because he's Jeremy Strong is such a method actor that he wouldn't, like, allow them to switch it out for anything. So every single time they shot that, different parts of that scene, he drank it. And also, that was the very last thing they shot for the show. Was that scene, and when they pour it over his head, that was the last thing they shot of the entire series of Succession. Oh, wow. And as soon as they finished, they all three of them got together, and that's when they shaved Jeremy Strong's head.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
was right after there. That scene as a sort of cleansing moment for Kendall.
Oh,
was
wow.
That's the story behind there. Yeah, which is kind of cool.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Mike, the situation.
Oh, yeah.
Because
my guy.
I mean, Jersey Shore was making a ton of news earlier this week when it was revealed that Aaron Rodgers was actually a fan of Jersey Shore. He's the new quarterback for the Jets, which play in Jersey. And Mike, the situation, caught wind of this, and he's got plans.
What were you thinking when you heard Aaron Rodgers say, like, the only two things I knew about Jersey were Jersey Shore and an airport?
Oh, man, the squad was lit when we first heard that a couple yes. days ago. Aaron Rodgers is a legend in the game. Now that he is in Jersey, you know, listen, we're so excited. We're so happy. Jersey, stand up. They have a group chat, and it started circulating the video of Aaron Rodgers. And we were like, everyone just had like a big smile on their face. Group chat was lit. Yes. I think there's obviously also a Jersey Shore production chat because we are in the midst of wrapping up a season and starting a new season. So it was definitely a good sight to see, a good video to have. I think a lot of us reposted it as well. Because again, listen, Rodgers is a legend, and we've been watching him on TV for many, many years. And now that he's in Jersey, I mean, we're all pretty excited, including the state of New Jersey as well. And now that we got Rodgers, man, it's only right that we get Jersey Shore in the building to support as well.
Yes. I'm down with that.
Is that a collab you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you not want Aaron Rodgers to team up with a guy like Mike the Situation, who back in the day said things like this?
My ads are so ripped up, we call it the situation. I mean, you can hate on me all you want to, but what can you possibly say to somebody that looks like Rambo pretty much with his shirt off?
Yes. Yo, I went into the bag for that one. That was Jersey Shore season one.
God, you know, and back in the day when you saw that entire cast of Jersey Shore, you would never have thought that years later they would still be popular, but humbled.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Like they all got humbled except for Pauly D.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I guess the Blue Jays decided that Anthony Bass's apology was A-OK good enough because he was back on the mound last night at Rogers Center. When they brought him out, the reception from the 42,205 fans in attendance sounded something like this.
Go back to Tampa.
Sick burn, bro.
So that's what that sounded like. Ex-Jays pitcher.
Go back to Tampa.
Okay.
He's like, I got a good one. I can't wait to use it at the game later.
Go back to Tampa.
Ex-Blue Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman replied to a tweet from the Toronto Star that had Anthony Bass's apology on it. And Stroman replied saying this: none of his teammates or staff want him in the locker room.
Oh, wow.
Go back to Tampa.
So
I guess he knows something that we don't, that he's just not a liked guy overall, I guess. Something like that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, I don't watch Kardashians, but they're getting into now because they tape stuff so far in advance that like what you're seeing now on television is like it's a drama from ages ago, right?
Yeah.
So there was a moment on the Kardashians with Kim talking to Chris about how sort of involved Kim was in the periods where Kanye was going through his massive bouts of sort of, I don't want to say mental illness, but when it was all going down for Kanye and how involved sort of Kim was in all of this.
And sometimes I feel like if he were to hit rock bottom, that's his journey that he needs to figure out on his own. They used to run around and call everyone behind his back and be like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Just give him another chance. I used to spend hours and hours and hours of my days as the cleanup crew.
Well, that's why you got divorced, because you can't do that to yourself
anymore. I just
don't
have that energy.
No, nobody does. And you never deserve to live like that. Mm.
Saw a picture of Kanye and his new wife the other day. Kanye dresses like a non-speaking character in a low-budget sci-fi film.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which picture did you see? The one with the shoulder pads?
No, just like the, I don't know. He's got like some, it was just like all black, but it looks like B sci-fi costuming mm-hmm. with those big boots he wears.
Did you see the one
stuff?
Where he was wearing just blue socks?
No, I didn't see
with
that.
No shoes?
No.
Like no sneakers, no boots, nothing.
Just socks?
Just socks.
Yeah,
just
no,
socks.
He always looks like he's in a sci-fi film, but one where you would be like, oh my, like you just roll your eyes to the entire thing.
And his wife, I saw a photo yesterday where she covered up her entire head and her face.
I saw that too, like a mummy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wouldn't you if you were with him?
I mean, I did see that, but to them it's fashion, right? Like mm-hmm. that's all.
Yeah, we're
that
just
is.
The idiots who don't
understand. We don't get fashion. That's the problem.
They're living in 3033.
Kanye does look like he's living at 3033.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, they made an arrest on that idiot who was lighting fireworks off on that TTC bus. 14-year-old girl was arrested and charged for deliberately setting off fireworks.
Bro, when I saw that video, I thought it was a boy.
Yep. Toronto police say the female suspect was traveling northbound on Kingston Road and Guildwood. This happened on Tuesday.
Of course, Guildwood.
It's alleged that the girl set off the fireworks while the bus was at full capacity. However, despite the video, which was horrific, no injuries were reported. The 14-year-old was arrested and charged with mischief endangering life. She will appear in court July 14th. The female youth was not identified due to the province's Youth Criminal Justice Act. But the one thing we do know for sure is that absolutely nothing will happen.
Exactly.
Because that's just the way the system
is. Also, shout out to Guildwood. I don't mean to disrespect Guildwood. Yeah. I know that neighborhood very well.
But you sort of knew when you saw somebody on a bus with fireworks?
No.
That's not what you're saying?
No.
What were you saying then?
I know.
What were you saying?
It just makes me sad for Scarborough. Like, that's not my people.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it is my people.
No, I know. But when I said Guildwood, you were like, oh, yeah, yeah.
No, just, you know what I mean? I know some people who live in Guildwood, so.
This type of people? Like fireworks on a bus type of people? Yes. Yes.
Get him.
Shut up, Sham.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck finally found a house. Oh, my God.
Oh, I was getting worried for a second.
My goodness.
I know. After 2 years of looking, the house has its own movie theater, a wine room, a whiskey lounge, a spa with a hair and nail salon, a sauna, and a massage room. There's also a separate 5,000-square-foot sports facility, which includes pickleball courts, a boxing ring, a sports lounge. On top of that, there is a two-bedroom guard house. There's 12 bedrooms, 24 bathrooms, 15 fireplaces. It's a beautiful house.
Modest.
They paid $60,850,000 for it in cash.
Cash?
They have to get a part-time job then.
The whole deal took about 1 week to finish, and they got a deal too. I know, 60 mil sounds like a deal, huh? So this house was originally listed in 2018 mm-hmm.
for $135 million.
Wow, J-Lo and Ben. Yo, that's a win.
It was then relisted for $75 million. They got it for $60.
Some great negotiating right there.
Right?
That's a deal. Cash. Bargain.
Thank you. Right?
Bargain.
Good for them.
Yeah. Been worried.
It's a beautiful house, too.
Where are they going to live?
I know. I was so worried for them. So worried. Summer coming up and stuff.
Hit a DM and be like, yo, we just got our basement redone. You guys need to crash.
Yes. Yes. That's what friends do.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There was a NASA panel investigation into unidentified flying objects that they've collected around 800 mysterious reports, but only a small fraction, they say, are truly unexplained. The agency set up a panel last year to explain its work on what it calls, was we don't say UFO anymore, we say UAP, which is unidentified anomalous phenomena.
So stupid. Just call it UFO.
UAPs are defined as sightings, quote, that cannot be identified as aircraft or known natural phenomena from a scientific perspective. The panel.
Oh, you mean an unidentified flying object?
Yes. The panel, which will issue a report later this year, held its first public meeting yesterday. Listen to this.
Another big question category was about transparency and about sharing information. And so examples in this category are, what is NASA hiding and where are you hiding it?
Woo.
How much has been shared publicly? Has NASA ever cut the live NASA TV feed away from something?
Damn.
Has NASA released all UAP evidence it has ever received? What about NASA astronauts? Do they have an NDA or clearance that does not allow them to speak about UAP sightings?
Yeah, and what?
I have a 26-part
question.
What are
the science overlords hiding?
Wow.
Dan Evans.
All right, I'll take a stab at that one. I really want to assure the public and to double down on some remarks I made this morning, that this agency is absolutely cast iron committed to openness and transparency and honesty. And that commitment also extends to our live NASA TV feeds. They provide real-time footage from our various missions. Now, to my knowledge, NASA has never intentionally cut a live feed to hide anything, and that includes UAPs, of course. Sometimes there are interruptions to our feeds, but that is simply because space is a complex place.
There's
a vast array of natural phenomena, human-made objects, and so forth.
Oh, gotcha.
But again, I wanted to reassure the public that we're absolutely committed to providing the public transparency and openness. Those are the hallmarks of NASA. That's why we're here today in public.
All right, share all your files then.
Yeah, right?
Give me access to your hard drive.
Google Drive.
Yeah.
Right? Just send me a link.
Give me a link. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me look.
Let me tour Area 51. Let me see what's going on over there.
Well, see, that's military, though. See, these are NASA guys. NASA guys are like, NASA's not hiding anything, right? The military guys are the ones.
We're hiding everything.
Everything.
Whatever happened to Storm Area 51? Remember that?
Yeah. They all went down there. They were there.
But then, They didn't do anything.
It was a big party.
Yeah.
Big talk. We're going to do it.
They didn't
storm.
They
show up, they didn't do anything.
No,
what are you going to do?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
After years of bad blood between Kim Cattrall and her Sex and the City co-stars, apparently Kim Cattrall is set to play Samantha Jones one more time. And just like that. On Wednesday, HBO Max or Max issued a tweet to confirm, and it was a shot of Kim Cattrall, and it just said, "Secrets out." According to the New York Post, Kim secretly filmed a scene described as, quote, a cliffhanger that will appear in the season 2 finale. So they've spoiled the sort of finale of season 2. Sources claim that Kim made a top secret arrival in an SUV with blacked out windows, and her scene reportedly was shot in a car in a parking garage. Variety had a few more details revealing that Kim did not film with any of her former co-stars, and the scene is set to feature Samantha, who now lives in London, in the show, having a telephone conversation with Carrie.
probably to say stop texting me.
Right.
No, I'm not trying to be, because guaranteed that's what it is, because Carrie's always texting Samantha saying, you know, it'd be great to see you.
But
blah,
Samantha
blah, blah.
Answers in the show, though.
She writes back, just going, sure, like it's right. Not like lots. Oh, so I bet you this word. Is like right. Enough already.
So season 2 debuts June 22nd. Also, Kim Cattrall's got a new show on Netflix called Glamorous, which premieres, oh, the same day.
Oh.
We got to do that more often. I really enjoyed that. That felt great.
Do it again?
Say yeah, the line again. Say yeah, the line again.
Okay. The second season of And Just Like That debuts June 22nd. And then over on Netflix, oh, her new series, Glamorous, premieres on the exact same day.
Oh.
Yeah, still feels good.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
That Vanderpump Rules reunion yes. Part 2 went down. And I don't know who any of these people are, but I am obsessed with these clips of this whole crew just...
Girl, me too.
Airing it all out.
This is the scandaval.
Like, I have a map here. Like, I don't know who any of these people are or how they affect each other's lives, but I just sort of follow the map and then I listen to the bits. So they were on with Andy Cohen, and this is Andy where he asked Sheena about the restraining order Raquel filed against her, and then asked Sheena if she punched Raquel after part one of the reunion.
Sheena, because of the temporary restraining order that Raquel has against you, you will have to leave the stage before Raquel joins us. But before you go, what is the latest on the restraining order?
We have a court date on the 29th.
She claims you punched her that night after Watch What Happens Live.
I will speak to you about this after the 29th.
You can't speak to me about it now.
No.
Did you punch her?
I can't say anything.
Okay. Does anyone else here think Sheena punched her?
Yes.
I think she might have slapped her.
No. She can't. Look at her fingers. Her fingernails. She can't make a fist.
No.
Sandoval, what do you think happened?
Yeah, say it, bro.
I mean...
Spit it out.
I wasn't there.
Why is it so difficult to answer?
Because I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place.
Then just keep your mouth shut.
Then just
That's
shut your mouth.
Sandoval.
Listen, the thing is... I don't want to upset my relationship with Sheena.
You have no relationship with Sheena, you idiot.
Oh! Yes! Yes!
And just so you know, when you listen to these clips, the reason why it sounds weird at times, like it sounds like somebody's watching it on television, is because they have to, because they're not allowed in the same room with each other. So, like, you have
it's
to
COVID.
Watch from a different
it's COVID
room
all over again.
Because of the restraining
Raquel's
order.
Raquel's in a trailer.
Yeah, Raquel's in a trailer watching this whole thing go down.
Yeah.
So here's the next clip. This is Will Sheena and Raquel ever be best friends again? And I guess, Tom, the question was, did they actually have an open relationship? Because that's what he said before the affair happened.
Do you think the two of you will ever be friends again?
Never.
Raquel and Sandoval said that you knew something was going on between them. Is that true?
I was suspicious based on everything that Lala had told me and things that Katie had seen. I started suspecting stuff, absolutely.
Did
but
you
not
tell
until recently.
Ariana about your suspicions?
I sat down and had lunch with her and we discussed it, and she said she absolutely did not think there was any truth to it whatsoever and that neither of them would ever do that to her. And I said, okay.
She really did come to me in a very respectful way about it, and I really, really appreciated that. And I know that Sheena would not do that lightly, given that she really cared about the two of them as well.
Sheena, you heard Sandoval was telling Raquel he and Ariana were in an open relationship at Coachella last April.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sandoval, is that true?
I did not say that. I've never said that in my entire life.
Well, then maybe you should stop hanging out with a liar.
There's a lot of things where she lied about you.
She said that you were
that
trying.
That is not true, dude.
She
I just
lied
talked
about
to
you.
Her. I just talked
I just
to her.
I just talked to her so you could coach her and what she's what's
I'm not coaching
out.
Anybody.
Yeah,
just,
right.
She also lied.
You used to try to coach me.
She also lied about everything that happened when we were in Vegas.
You used to coach me, Ariana. Let's be real.
Well, you need it.
Oh! God, any time that Tom guy opens his mouth, it's like hyenas on him, man.
I'll just go in.
Oh, my God.
Forget you, Tom. This is all I got to go back to this one. This is my favorite.
Damn. God.
I don't want to upset my relationship with Sheena.
You have no relationship with Sheena, you idiot.
With so such great. Force. I love it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Tom Holland is 27 today. Amy Schumer is 42. Alanis Morissette, 49. Heidi Klum is 50. Morgan Freeman celebrates his birthday today.
Yes, happy birthday to the great.
86 years old. I was going back seeing if we had any like old stuff with Morgan Freeman, and I found an old interview that Dammit Maury did with Morgan Freeman. And like anytime I listen to old stuff that Maury did, like if I sort of physically like retort, like just like my fists curl up and then my eyes close, because it's like I don't do well with secondary embarrassment, you know what I mean? Right? Like I don't do well with that stuff. I don't like listening to that stuff.
When was this from then?
But my rule is that if I ever do have that reaction to anything Maury did, we have to replay it on the show. When was this from, Maury?
It was from 2014.
2014. Maury and Morgan.
Morgan Freeman, how are you?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
So I can multitask.
I'm multitasking.
Can I tell you something? You and I have something in common, by the way.
Just one something?
No, we have something in common. We both have incredibly sexy voices. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy, but mine is just a voice.
Are you kidding me? I'd love to wake up to your voice every day, Morgan.
Good. Okay. Do you?
Yes. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Do you lie next to me and say things like that?
That's the end of it. And then they yank him.
And then at that point, the publicist walks over and says, okay, we're done here.
That went well, huh?
I'd be happy to talk to Maury again anytime.
It's funny. It's interesting because Morgan didn't really sound like Morgan in that clip. Huh? No.
Morgan Freeman, how are you?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Well, hey. So I can multitask.
I'm multitasking.
Can I tell you something? You and I have something in common, by the way.
Maybe because it's so loud there. So no, it feels like speak louder.
Sexy voices. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy, but mine is just a voice.
Right? I think yours is incredibly sexy. Mine
is
just a voice.
He doesn't say it like that, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the classic Morgan dramatic voice in his regular speaking.
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy, but mine is just a voice.
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy, but... What?
I think yours is incredibly sexy.
No, he doesn't say it like that.
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy.
Yours.
Oh,
I think yours is
it goes high up in the back of the throat.
Oh. Yours.
Yours.
I think yours is incredibly sexy.
Well, I think yours is incredibly sexy. But...
I think yours is
incredibly sexy. The whole thing is doing it for me.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.